Praise the Lord. As you know, today is Worldwide Sunday, or Communion Sunday. And today, millions of people all over the world will be receiving communion. You know, and one of the things we think about was in Psalms chapter 133, it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that it commands, God commands the blessing where that anointing flows. And so all over the world today, as we partake in the sacrament of communion, that anointing will flow and God will come and he will be present with us. And that is such an exciting thing to think about. Because, you know, in many cases, we don't think about these things when we take communion. We just think about that we're taking a piece of bread and drinking a little glass of juice. And, you know, we're just doing this traditional thing that we do. And we really don't give much thought to about what communion really, truly means. And so, praise God, you know, we're going to participate in communion today along with millions of other people all over the world, not just in the United States, but all over the world. So praise God for that. Amen. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. In Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, this is when they were having the Lord's Supper and Jesus was with the disciples. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And so, you know, Jesus is telling us here to take communion and take the bread and take the cup in remembrance of him. And so today, as we get ready, we prepare to take communion, we want to do these things. But before we take communion, we're going to talk about why we take communion. You know, when Jesus said these things, he was still in his body. You know, when he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, eat this bread and drink this cup. He was still in his body. And because we know that Jesus didn't mean that he literally wanted us to eat flesh and to drink blood, which is a little grotesque, we know that it is symbolic. And so we want to look at what Jesus was speaking about. So let's look at John chapter 6. And Jesus is speaking to the crowd. They followed him all over the country. He's been speaking in many places. He's fed the 5,000. He fed the 3,000. He got in his boat and he went to Capernaum and he went across the shore and the people followed him. And Jesus at one point says to them, you only follow me because I feed you. And that is when we look at that statement, that was pretty harsh. You know, that was a pretty harsh thing for him to say. You don't follow me because you believe what I'm teaching. You follow me because I feed you. And so then in chapter 6, verse 35, he goes on to explain. In verse 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You know, Jesus here is telling us that he was the bread of life. And bread sustains life. When Jesus talks about life, he means more than physical existence. Real life is a relationship with God, one of trust, of obedience, and love. That relationship is only possible through Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. And without Jesus, there is existence, but there is no life. Therefore, Jesus is essential to life. And so when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, we have to take a look at that and see what he meant about himself being the bread of life. And he goes on to explain to the people, and in verse 48, again he says, I am the bread of life. And then in verse 55, he says, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Well, I'm sure that this, to us, this is, seems very grotesque. It seems kind of yucky. But back in those days, they were doing sacrifice, and people who were, we would call them heathens, or those that do sacrifice and sacrificial things, and they would even sacrifice people. And, you know, we see that in movies and we think, oh, that's silly. But these things were actually going on. And so for them to see this, they, or hear Jesus say, you know, my flesh is food and my blood is drink, was not really odd to these people. It's odd to us, but it was not odd to them. And so, you know, he though is speaking to us even today through this, and he's trying to explain to them, because they knew that food was essential to live. And flesh here is a symbol to Jesus, what he's trying to say to us. Flesh is a symbol of what is external. You know, it's an outward part. And so he's telling us we must have part, take part of what he took part of outwardly. You know, in the Greek, this means kindred or like nature or similar to family. So when he was saying, you must eat this flesh, he was saying to us, you have to become like me. You have to take on who I am, the way I am, this person that he was. And he was expressing that, you know, because we sometimes as Christians, we think of, well, we have Jesus in our heart, but our flesh doesn't participate a whole lot, you know. And you'll hear the expression, well, I know God. Well, you might know God in your brain, but you don't know God in your heart. When your flesh does not participate in the activities that Jesus tells us to participate in, then only our head knows Jesus. Because when our hearts become in alignment with what Christ wants for us, when he comes and lives in our hearts, our flesh should begin to line up with what Jesus did. And the scripture tells us that Jesus was all man and that he was all God. And so when we know this, that Jesus was all man and all God, and as we think about his humanity, we understand that Jesus, being all man as you and I, he took on human difficulties just as you and I did. Just as we, you know, as we suffer with anxiety sometimes, and we suffer even in our bodies, we suffer with sickness and disease. You know, Jesus didn't walk in those things, but at the cross, when he died for us, he took that sickness, he took that disease, he took our pain, he took our anguish, and he bore them on himself in his body as a man so that we could be delivered of those things. He took on human difficulties and offered his strength and his cleansing to us. And so it's important for us, as we receive this flesh, this bread, that we recognize that we are receiving Jesus into our life, into as to what he was and what we can be. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all. When Jesus took this on his body, he took the stripes that we could be healed. He took on the anguish and the pain. He said he did this once. He's not going to die again and again, but he took this once for us, that we could be sanctified, that we could be healed, and we could be cleansed. In John 15, verses 4 through 7, it says, Jesus says to us, "Abide in me and I in you." And what is interesting about this is really takes on a different look for us. This, when we read this scripture, when I read this scripture, let's put it that way. When I look at this scripture now, and Jesus says, "If you abide in me and I in you," it takes on a whole different meaning when we look at it as that we are taking on the flesh of Jesus. We are receiving sustenance of Jesus' life into us when we receive this piece of bread. And I know it's just a piece of bread, but he's telling us, do this in remembrance of what I've done. So when he says here, he says, "I abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered and then gathered and thrown into the fire and is burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." So as we look at this today, as eating this piece of bread, this flesh, it reminds us that we have received Jesus into us, that he abides in us. You know, sometimes we're so ornery that we don't think that Jesus could ever live in us. You know, sometimes we do things and we think, "Oh God, forgive me." You know, and we think, how could God and his spirit dwell in me? You know, when you do those things that you ought not to do, or you say those things you ought not say, and you think, "Oh, how can that be?" But what Jesus wants us to remember is not what we've done that is not of him, but that he abides in us. You know, it's like a glass full of dirty water. And the more clean you add to it, the cleaner the water will get, because it'll flush out the dirty. Well, that's what Jesus, he doesn't want us to remember the sin. He wants us to ask for forgiveness and cleanse us, because he says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we fill ourselves with him, it will rinse away. It will cause the dirt to be washed out. So as we receive the bread, as we receive it as Jesus in us, he is rinsing away. He is cleansing us so that this body can reflect Jesus and all that he is. You know, as we eat this bread, it reminds us that we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that we have given him full control of our life. We make a decision to live in him. In him. Because he says, "If you abide in me, I'll abide in you." And when we receive him, he comes into us. And when he says here in Luke 22, he says, "Receive this bread and do it in remembrance of me." Is he's wanting us to remember that he is in us, that he abides in us, that he is part of us, and that we are part of him. And so we need to remember, you know, take as we eat the bread today, remember that he is in us. He abides in us. As long as Jesus remains a man in this book, he's external. He's out here. But once he enters our hearts, we can feed on the life, the strength, and the power that Jesus gives to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And that's the thing that he wants for us. He wants for us to recognize that he abides, he lives, he dwells in us, so that our life can be like his life, And when we think about, when I think about the things of Jesus, when I think about the life of Jesus, I guess I'm a little bit more sci-fi than I should be, because I think of all the fantastic things that Jesus ever did. I mean, like walking on water and walking through walls. I think that it is just the coolest thing that there ever was. And so, you know, but this is the power of God. This is the power of Jesus. It's the power that he wants us to walk in. And you say, oh, Roxanne, that's ridiculous. He said, greater things will we do than he has done. And so if walking on water is just one of those things to him, then greater can we do. Amen? And he wants us. But until that becomes resonant in us and abides in us, that we can do these things, they never will. It will remain out here, an external thing that we see, that we think, this is God. But the scripture clearly tells us that Jesus was a man when he came to earth. He was all man, just as he was all God, but he was all man. And when Jesus gave us his life, he made us all God and all man, just like him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's look back at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start in verse 10 again. It says, by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never wash away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And from that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who witnesses to us. For after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And then he adds, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. The bread speaks of humanity. And when we take it into ourselves, we take the humanity of Jesus into ourselves. But the blood speaks of life. In Genesis, it says, and it records it this way, it says that life is in the blood. So when we look at Luke chapter 22, verse 20, it says, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which was shed for you. This cup is the new covenant at the cost of my blood, is what Jesus was saying to us here. My blood was shed that you could have a new covenant with me. And here in Hebrews, he tells us that this is the new covenant with us. And I love this because, you know, in Hebraic law, according to Moses and Levitical law, you know, they sacrificed daily. The priest went daily with sacrifices for your sin. So if you sinned, you had to take whatever was required for that particular sin and take it over to the temple and let the priest offer it for you. Kill the sacrifice, spread the blood around, and your sin, that's the way you got forgiven. That's the way your sin was washed, was covered. Covered, not washed away. Your sin was never covered or washed away until Jesus came. But your sin was covered with blood. That God would say, okay, I see them as sinless until you sin the next time. Because he says you got to keep the whole law. Have you ever read Deuteronomy and Leviticus? And oh my goodness, those laws go on and on. And so he says, if you break one, you've broken them all. So it's very difficult. And Jesus knew this. God knew that it was very difficult. He knew it was impossible to keep the law. And he knew that he had a better plan. He says, I have another covenant for you. And he tells us in the Old Testament, you know, and that this old covenant would be passed away. In Jeremiah, this is when Jesus is speaking, he says here, this is the covenant that I will make with them in this day, that my laws will be in their hearts and in their minds, and their sins and lawless deeds will be remembered no more. That's the new covenant. The new covenant wasn't that Jesus came and that Jesus died, but he did those things so that the new covenant could be reinforced in our lives. Isn't it wonderful to know? How could we not be thankful of a Lord who would be so willing to take upon himself our sin and our sickness and our disease, that we could walk freely without those? That we would not have to show up here every single day and say to Gordon, Gordon, would you, you know, sacrifice this for me? Because I did, you know, this little thing, you know, and I need you to take care of it for me. I don't want God to be mad at me. But Jesus took care of it for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With this covenant, we entered a new relationship with God, not dependent on man's ability to keep the law, but God's love that he has given us through Jesus Christ. Through love. He loved us so much that he sent us Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 24, he says, and this is Paul's telling about the Lord's Supper, and he's talking to the people about what the Lord's Supper means. And so he says, take and eat this, my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in the blood, at the cost of my blood. I want us to think about it of it that way. This cup is the new covenant at the cost of my blood. He says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We proclaim the Lord's death by participating in the sacrament of communion. And what is interesting about this word, it proclaim, it means to make known or to put it in effect. So to put into effect, we remember. And as we participate in communion, we put into effect the new covenant that he is making with us. In 1 John 4. And Jesus knew how we would forget, you know, how we would forget daily what he has done for us in our life's busyness. So he reminds us, he said, do this in remembrance of what I've done. And when you do this, you'll be putting into effect this new covenant that I have made for you. You will be proclaiming this new covenant that I had for you. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, he says, by this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. You know, it's very interesting to us. We think, well, everybody knows that Jesus came in the flesh. They know that he walked on this earth. But, you know, 50 years ago, that may have been true. But nowadays, we have gotten so far away from the true gospel. The people really don't know about Jesus. They don't know that he was the Son of God. They don't know that he came as a man and did these things for us, that we could achieve the same thing. They do not know that there is only one God and that through Jesus Christ is the only way to reach God. They don't know these things. A lot of people just think that there's this one powerful entity somewhere out in space, and some of them have some pretty wild ideas about where in space he is, and that all religions eventually will lead to him. This is not true. I just want to make it really clear to you. I want the children to know today that is not true. There is one God, and the only way to reach God is through Jesus Christ, his Son, who died on the cross for you. He is the only way. There is no other way. There is no other God that will rescue and save you. And when we do not receive this, we will end up in eternity in hell, which we do not want to happen. So, you know, because many of us who are older, we've grown up in a generation that we have been taught God. We've been taught about Jesus. We went to Sunday school. We've been taught about these things. And we just assume everybody knows them, but it is not true. And so when we participate in the Lord's Supper and communion, it reminds us of what Jesus has done. And Jesus said, "Remember me and proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again," by participating in communion. And that's what we want to do today. We want to not only proclaim in ourselves to each other here, but reinforce that in yourself to such a magnitude that when you go out, that you'll be able to tell others about the goodness and the grace of Jesus. With communion, we not only remember what Jesus did for us, but we proclaim or put into effect what Jesus did for us. We live our lives in such a way that it reflects Jesus and his love. So as we receive our communion today, let's reflect, not just reflect, but then also live our lives in such a manner that it will reflect Jesus to others. Because that is the whole purpose of receiving his body into our body, that he would abide in us. And to receive the cup, that new covenant that he has given us, that has come from the shedding of blood. I don't want you to think that we're not talking about the shedding of blood. That's blood washes away sin, the blood of Jesus. And that's why we receive the blood, because we remember, we recognize that Jesus has washed away our sin. What a marvelous God. What a marvelous thing he has done for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read this to you. I'm going to start in verse 23. It said, "The Lord, on that same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" I'm going to have our servers to go ahead and come on forward. And as they're getting ready to, receive our communion today, we're going to do things just a little bit different. But also, I want to have some reassurance here this morning. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, if you've never accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, I want you to think about that today. I want you to receive Jesus today. I want you to accept him as your Lord and Savior today. As you get ready to receive the cup and the bread and the cup, I want you to know that there is nothing greater in life than knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Nothing. Nothing will change your life more than receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. But nothing will save you, deliver you, and help you more than receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. You know, you think sometimes, oh, what a downer. You know, that really put the clamps on my life. Let me tell you something. It'll set you free to receive Jesus. So I want you to receive Jesus right now, right? Just call upon his name. It says if we'll call upon the name of Jesus, we shall be saved. So if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've slipped away from him, just call out to him right now and say, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. We're going to pray, and then we're going to break the bread, and then I want you to say, repeat after me. So let's pray first. Father God, we receive this bread as the body of Christ. We thank you that you sent Jesus, that you gave your only Son, because you loved us so much that you gave him, that we could abide in him and he can abide in us, that we could receive his life into us. And so, Father, we receive this bread in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, not only on the cross, but also through his life, all the wonderful things that Jesus did. We receive this bread as the body of Christ. Thank you, Father. Now, if you'll just take your bread and you'll break it and say this with me. This is your body, broken for me. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. You abide in me, and I in you. You know, a covenant is an agreement between two people. It's something that you and the other person has to agree on. So when Jesus said that he gave his blood as a new covenant for us, he did his part, but we have to do our part to be part of that covenant. So this morning, as we get ready to receive this cup, I want us to make this confession. I accept this covenant, Lord. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I acknowledge that Jesus died once for all. Jesus died once for all. And that you shed your blood to cleanse me from sin. Thank you, Jesus. Receive the cup. Father, we thank you that you gave us Jesus. We thank you for this bread and this cup. We receive it into ourselves as life eternal. We receive it, Lord, as life and health and strength. We thank you, Father, for the cleansing of our sin through your blood. We praise you. We give you thanksgiving for all that you're doing in our lives, that you're causing us to rise up and to be and to live like Jesus. We praise you, Father God. We give you thanks in all that you do. We give you glory, God. And Father, we receive this covenant. We participate in your covenant, Lord, this new covenant that Jesus has given to us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We'll let you out a little early today. Thank you for coming. God bless you all.